From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. This upcoming cruise ship tourism season will be the first time Juneau has a daily passenger cap, numbers that came through negotiations between the city and cruise lines. Still, more than half of the respondents in a local survey said they don't believe the city is doing enough to mitigate tourism impacts on residents. On Thursday, Juneau's visitor industry director, Alex Pierce, shared data from an annual tourism survey during a Juneau Chamber of Commerce luncheon. The phone survey included more than 500 people who lived in Juneau throughout the borough during the 2025 summer season. It asked them various questions about the recent tourism season and the industry as a whole. Last summer, about 1.7 million cruise ship passengers visited Juneau. Overall, about 30% said they think the positive impacts of tourism outweigh the negatives, compared to 10% who said the opposite. Nearly 40% said tourism has both positive and negative impacts, and close to 20% said they felt no impacts at all. The survey shows that positive perception of tourism has waned over time, though it saw a slight 2% bump this year compared to the year before. Pierce says she doesn't necessarily see the trending decline as alarming, especially when looking at how much cruise ship passenger volumes have skyrocketed during that same period. Between 1995 and 2025, cruise ship passenger volumes have increased by more than 350%.
You know, when I look at the trend lines over time and I look at how much we've grown versus like the growth in negative sentiment, which is pretty minor in comparison, that tells me we've done a lot of work and that work is recognized and it's helping.
According to the survey, more than 50% of respondents say the city isn't doing enough to manage the industry's impacts. Respondents report that tourism affects them most via downtown vehicle congestion, crowding on sidewalks, and at the Mendenhall Glacier. Respondents say the city should prioritize maintaining a 5-ship limit, managing tour impacts on residents, and maintaining a daily passenger cap. In the coming years, big plans are on the horizon that could change the cruise ship industry in town. Gold Belt Incorporated is planning a new $500 million cruise ship port on the backside of Douglas Island. That plan coincides with the downtown dock development by Huna Totem Corporation, an Alaska Native Village corporation based in Huna. The survey touched on what residents think of Gold Belt's plan for the backside of Douglas. According to the data, more than half of the respondents say it's very important to develop a master plan for the area. They cited concerns about vehicle traffic, environmental impacts, and emergency service access, and other problems that could arise with the construction of a new dock. The tourism season is fast approaching. The first ship of the 2026 season is slated to arrive late next month. It has now been more than a month since a Juneau man who had been staying at a local shelter for unhoused people was last seen by staff. Junior Lama Siufanua was reported missing on February 25th. Police say there are no updates and the case has been assigned to their General Investigations Unit. Siufanua is 38 years old and was last seen at the Glory Hall in the Mendenhall Valley on February 9th. Glory Hall staff say Siufanua left his belongings in his room, including his phone. He also left behind medication for diabetes, according to Alaska State Troopers. Anyone with information about Siufanua's whereabouts should call JPD's non-emergency line at 907-586-0600. And to see a picture of Siufanua, go to the story on ktobo.org or to JPD's Missing Persons webpage. Negotiations between the city and borough of Juneau and the local chapter of the International Association of Firefighters, or IAFF, have stalled out after more than a year. The union has been operating without a contract since last summer. In its proposal for a 3-year contract, the city says it's offering the union the best offer it's ever made to a union, but firefighters say it still doesn't make their department competitive to new recruits or for employees to stay in the long term. Juneau's deputy city manager, Robert Barr, says the city has come to agreements with two other city unions, one for port employees and one for the police union.
IAFF is the last remaining, and to IAFF specifically, CBJ has offered the best, like the single sole best monetary offer that we've ever made to any union ever.
Barr says the city is offering, on average, a more than 11% increase in the first year, though what the actual increase is depends on position and pay level. Juneau's local IAFF union president, Logan Ballstead, says that first-year increase is much lower for entry-level positions, and those wages would still be less competitive region-wide. For the second and third years, the city is proposing a 1% increase for each year, according to the union. The starting pay for a Capital City Fire Rescue firefighter/EMT is $20 an hour. Ballstead says less competitive wages have made it challenging for CCFR to recruit and retain experienced firefighters. A 2024 wage study showed that CCFR firefighters are paid between 9 and 19% lower than other departments in the Northwest United States. Union officials say those comparisons are worse now. Ballstead says in the past year, other fire departments in the region have successfully negotiated 16% increases. The department has shortened 9 positions, according to the new fire chief and a press release from the union. 6 apprentices are expected to fill some of those positions. For the past few years, Juneau firefighters have had to work mandatory overtime to make up for absences. Ballstead says that over the past decade, the department has fewer firefighters with long-term experience. Barr says that there have been some unexpected hangups with the negotiation process, like the process of finding a neutral third-party investigator that will look into wage tables of comparable departments and Juneau's economic conditions. Both the union and the city say they're willing to keep negotiating to reach an agreement. Juneau's teachers union also remains at an impasse with the Juneau School Board. And in Juneau this week, youth from across the state presented films they made, highlighting the impacts of climate change and other environmental issues where they live. Young organizers told KTOO's Alex Solomon that sharing their personal stories can help them advocate for the places they love.
White water rushing through boulders in downtown Juneau's Gold Creek and other scenes from Cope Park flash across a large screen at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. Local 16-year-old Mazelle Joseph narrates the film she made, titled Walk With Me.
Ach, tuwu, yana ik, gach, ani, e, in, na, a, I, at, ka, achu, ani, ade, kuduchs, ye.
In Tlingit, Joseph says, I feel sick when the land cries. Come with me. We are all wrapping the land in garbage. As she collects litter from a hollowed-out tree and from the bed of spruce needles on the forest floor. Joseph's film is one of 8 screened this year by Alaska Youth for Environmental Action, a nonprofit led by a young activist that started in 1998 to ensure youth voices would be heard. At the film screening, Joseph says narratives are an important part of advocacy.
Traditionally, storytelling was the way we passed down things. Everything was oral. We didn't write down. It makes it very personal. It puts the issues of constituents in legislators' faces.
Brennan Barger looked into the ways a changing climate is impacting his hometown. He's a 17-year-old from Noatok, a village of around 700 people in the Arctic. His film shows photos of the village's airport.
Noatok is a place where you are welcomed with big hugs and smiles.
The state is planning to relocate the airport since the land it sits on is crumbling into the Noatok River.
I talked about our erosion because it was eating up our land.
That erosion is caused by climate change. Warming temperatures have brought above average rain and snowfall to the Northwest Arctic Borough in recent years, causing the river to flood. As the riverbank erodes, permafrost along the bank thaws and falls into the river, causing more erosion. It's a cycle. Barger says moving the airport is important because planes provide Noatok's only year-round transportation, and his community wants to remain there.
It's important for us to, live in our villages where we grew up.
Layla Pyle is the program manager at Alaska Youth for Environmental Action. She says she was a teen in the program when she was growing up in Kodiak. Now she helps youth learn to take action in their communities, including through storytelling. She says processing an issue creatively is powerful.
Teaching about climate change, talking about it, figuring out how to take action on it is so difficult. And one way that is, I find, a really positive way to start learning about the issue and how you can take action is creative projects and telling your own story.
Pyle says the program also teaches youth to talk to legislators and to work together toward collective action because, she says, change starts at the community level. The film screening is part of the program's Civics and Conservation Summit, which includes touring the Capitol building and giving testimony to the House Education Committee. Maddie Bass is a 15-year-old at Juneau Douglas High School, Yadaakathle, and has been involved in the program for 2 years. Bass made a film with other students highlighting the impacts of climate change across the state.
The future belongs to the youth. It's us that's going to be affected by this even 80 years from now.
And she says that an issue as big as climate change needs young, innovative minds. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And after weeks of voting, Sitkins have finally chosen the name for the Sitka Sound Science Center's newest giant Pacific octopus. KCAW's Ryan Cotter paid a visit to see how the octopus has been adapting to her new home and to find out what name Sitkins settled on.
She's adorable. I think you're gonna fall in love. It's kind of hard not to.
I'm very excited.
Maya Carter is the curriculum coordinator for the Sitka Sound Science Center. She leads me down the stairs to show me the aquarium's newest resident, foreshadowing lines the hall on the walkover, from newly purchased octopus plushies on the merchandise table to a whiteboard attached to a door sharing the Tlingit word of the day, nach, which is translated by the adorable octopus drawing below it.
Oh, look at her go.
The red and beige giant Pacific octopus sits on the rocky wall in the oval tank farthest from the aquarium's entrance, elevated from her tank mates. Her suckers stick on the glass to help her balance. Since her arrival at the Science Center in January, the octopus has grown to 12 times her initial size, yet she is still nowhere near as large as she will eventually become. An adult giant Pacific octopus can have an arm span of at least 15 to 16 feet. For the past few weeks, the Science Center has hosted a voting bracket contest to determine what the octopus will be named. 32 randomly selected names from donors, staff, and programming participants were listed for Sitkins to vote off one by one. For aquarist Matt Wilson, it was very fulfilling to see how excited Sitkins were during the whole process.
It's been really fantastic seeing the community engagement and people, you know, stopping me on the street to be like, what's the bracket this week? What's your pick? What's going on? Everybody always wants to know, and that's been fantastic.
The final showdown came on March 4th, when Sitkins were faced with the top two contenders, Clementine versus Matilda. Carter was pleased with the finalists that Sitkins chose, with each name encapsulating a different valued trait of the octopus.
Clementine, I think, represents how adorable she truly is, and what a delight it is to be able to see her and interact with her. Matilda, I do think, represents her sassier side or her more stubborn side.
Carter says that there was a 50-50 divide amongst staff as to which name they hoped the octopus would get. As somebody who has worked closely with the octopus since her arrival at the Science Center, Wilson was firmly on Team Matilda, as he felt the name best captured her quote-unquote troublemaker personality. Additionally, the name carries a lot of sentimentality to him.
That name was pitched by our Aquarium Science Club, and so that was really nice for us, just because I would love to see those students to be able to get a little bit more out of their time here, even though they've spent a lot of time here already.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for.
Should I do a little drum roll?
Let's do it.
Clementine. Hey. Clementine is her name.
In Sitka, I'm Brian Cotter.
This is KTOO.